This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Welcome to The Real Reel, where we go behind the highlight reel and go into the unfiltered. I'm your host, Natalie Barbu, and let's get into it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Real Reel podcast with me, Natalie Barbu. I am scarred from the last YouTube video that I posted for the podcast because I looked like I was like 1.5 feet tall just because of the way that I was sitting. Like I was sitting with a dress on the chair, but it was like a maxi dress. So the dress kind of like, you couldn't tell I was like crossing my legs like this. It just looked like I was like so short. And then like my knee kind of popped out and it just kind of looked like I had half of a leg. Not like a disability, but like literally like I was cut in half. Like I looked so disproportional. And so no more maxi dresses on the pod unless I'm sitting with my like legs out because it was just traumatizing for me to look at. I'm kidding. It was not traumatizing, but it wasn't the most flattering angle, I shall say. I guess that's the better way to put it. Anyways, today I am switching it up. I'm sitting on my couch in my living room, and I want to talk to you about something that it's been put on my heart to talk about this week. And it's because it's something that I've been going through. And I don't know about you, but I have been in the worst rut lately, like mentally, not in a creative rut, actually, which usually I get into creative ruts. This has been just like a really depressing month, which is sad because April, which it's already May 3rd, but I'm talking about April. April is usually my favorite month because it's the month, it's my birthday. I usually do stuff for that. So I will have friends come in town or I will like go do something. And although I went to California with my friend, I didn't have any friends come in town. I didn't really do anything for my birthday, which was fine. That's not why I was depressing. But I had so much work pressure that I felt like I couldn't even enjoy my like times that I did spend with my friends or with my family. Like my parents were here the other week and I just felt like stressed the whole time. And they could definitely tell because I was just like not happy. Like I was feeling really low. I was feeling incredibly anxious. I have been waking up in the middle of the night at like 2, 3, 4 a.m. just with like so much anxiety and so many thoughts. Like I wake up stressed and I hate that because I'm usually someone who I love my morning routines. I like to wake up and have a leisurely morning. It's kind of how I get started in the day and I kind of like will ease my way into the day. But this month has just been like a pit of anxiety about so many different things. And it mainly does stem from work. And if you are someone that's listening to this, which I feel like a lot of my audience is just because of the type of content that I post, you are probably someone who really cares about your career or you care about maybe you're an entrepreneur or you're a founder or you want to be an entrepreneur or you're a content creator, whatever it is. I feel like you probably fit into that bucket if you're listening to my podcast or you're independent in some way. There's so much pressure when it comes to relying on yourself. And I wouldn't have it any other way because I really do love being independent. I love being career oriented and I like being ambitious. I think my ambition and my motivation is one of my best qualities. I was actually asked, this is kind of random, but I was asked, I think I talked about this on the podcast, maybe another time. I was asked what my best quality was about myself. Someone asked me, what do you think? What's your favorite thing about you? And I honestly love that question. I'm going to start stealing it and asking people because I think it tells you a lot about the type of person they are. And it gives you a chance to kind of like brag about yourself without bragging. Like it's not like you are just out of the way being like, I love this about myself. I'm so great. But you're like given the opportunity to reflect and like actually be kind to yourself, which I'll talk about. I've not been very kind to myself this month, but that question, like, I love it because it got me thinking and I was like, what is my best quality? And I think one of my favorite qualities about myself personally is how ambitious and like how impulsive I am. And I probably talked about this in the episode about impulsivity, which is one of my favorite ones if you guys haven't listened to it, but I really loved go after what I want. That is something that I really love about myself. If I want to do something, I am not letting anything stop me and I will do it. Like I will figure out a way. I will find a path. Even growing up as a little kid, I was one of those annoying kids that when my parents told me no, I would just ask a million times. And some of you might be listening to this and be like, that just means you were a spoiled little brat. And it's not the case, because my parents would tell me no all the time about things. And if the answer that they gave me about why they were telling me no did not satisfy me, which 95% of the time it did not, I would literally ask until they had to like yell at me and be like, you need to take no for an answer. And like, I'd get in trouble, or until eventually they'd be like, you know what? Okay. And I'd find a way to do it. I'm sure when I have kids, it's going to come back and haunt me, but I've just always been very, very, very ambitious. And I do think that that's like one of my best qualities, definitely a double-edged sword sometimes. But if you resonate with that and you feel the same way about yourself, what's tricky about it is that I think I place a lot of emphasis on like who I am as a person and how I kind of like judge myself based on how I'm doing in my career or how successful I am in the moment. And if I am not getting exactly what I want or the outcome I'm desiring, then it really can depress me. And it sucks, because when you're a founder or you're an entrepreneur, your identity is so tied into what you do. I feel like that's something that every single entrepreneur can relate to. I don't know how to describe who I am without describing what I do and what my career is, because they're so intertwined. If someone were to ask me, so tell me about yourself, the first thing I would say is, oh, so I'm a creator. I've been doing it since 2011, started on YouTube back in the day. Then I started Rela. Like, that is like what I would talk about. Like, I don't know what else I would talk about. And I would love to know, if you are someone that you don't answer that question with your career, what do you mention? Because I genuinely want to cut the cord on that being part of my identity. I want that to just be like another aspect of my life. I don't want that to be my entire life. And I am really scared that it is. And this month particularly has been just a really stressful month. We're raising money with Rela. We have a bigger team. Things are just, the stakes are higher. And I think when you're growing and you're growing as a business and you're becoming older and more people rely on you, the stress, it's just more stressful because things are more real. Like when I was 18, things didn't feel as heavy as they do when I'm 28. And I was talking to a friend about this, actually, one of my really good friends, Allie. I am so proud of her, by the way, if she's listening to this. I already told her this, but like if she's listening, she's going to hear it again. Allie is one of my friends who I've known since like my sophomore year of college. We lived together my senior year of college. She's been one of my best friends for a really, really, really long time. And we haven't seen each other in a while, but we always love to catch up. And she's someone who I have seen her entire like career change just because we've known each other for so long. And for me, I feel like I've kind of been like doing the same thing forever. Like even though Rela is fairly new, I've been a content creator forever. I just feel like my life hasn't changed that much. And when I look at her, I'm like, you are killing it. You went from like working at a apartment building just as like a, I don't know, like the front desk, like someone that helps with like the leases and everything like that, to working in fashion in LA and like not the best job, to then working kind of more like with what she was wanting to do. She was working at like kind of like an agency type of thing and like starting to kind of like figure out what she wanted to do. And now she has her own agency and is doing so well, like financially, absolutely killing it and just doing amazing. And it's like, I am just so proud seeing her progression and like seeing where she's come and just seeing how well she's doing and the clients she's signing on. And it's like so cool to see. I need to have her back on the podcast. But when we were talking, she was telling me that this month was really hard for her and how she's having these growing pains. And I was like, wow, like from me looking at you, like you literally look like you are having like the best time, like the best life. And I'm not saying that she's like not doing well, because she actually is. Like if you look at her numbers, if you look at her business, it's never been more successful. But like she feels so burnt out and she's like so stressed. And that's what I'm saying, is just like when you get older and when things get more real, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not as successful. It's just that like things weigh so much more and they just feel so much heavier. Let's talk about styling hair, because it is a whole production, especially when you are battling frizz. And take it from me, I live in Miami, Florida. It is about to be summer. I really know frizz, but honestly, I would rather be doing something else, like booking a spontaneous vacation to St. Barts or rewatching the Eras Tour for like the third time. You know, the important stuff. But who actually has time for frizz? Introducing Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is like a superhero for your hair. It provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. I actually brought it on a trip with me and my friend borrowed it and she purchased it right then and there because it was that good. So how does this fit into my hair routine? It is the best thing I could have done for my hair. I am all about saving time and the anti-frizz cream does just that. Plus the Sydney-inspired North Bondi scent is so amazing. You can think bergamot, Italian lemon violet, and more. And as someone who is always concerned about heat damage, because I definitely use a lot of heat on my hair, this anti-frizz cream provides heat protection, which is such a big relief. And my hair feels so much lighter and looks smoother after using it. Get busy being frizz-free with Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's not just about taming frizz. It also provides heat protection up to 450 degrees, reduces and repairs split ends, quenches dry hair with intense hydration, and according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looked less frizzy after using it. I can definitely contest that. And while you're at it, check out Way's other bestsellers like the leave-in conditioner, which I also use, detox shampoo, fragrances, hair oils, and hair gloss. They're all essential for achieving that salon-worthy look at home. So you can frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code RealReal for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code RealReal. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today, as it should, with Earnin. Earnin is an app that is changing the game when it comes to getting paid. Imagine having access to the money you've earned as you work, not just waiting for payday. With Earnin, you can access up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So think about it. The next time you're planning a special night out, you need a last minute gift for a loved one, or you face an unexpected expense, like maybe a trip to the vet, Earnin has you covered. For me, it's about having the flexibility to handle those surprise expenses that life throws my way. So whether it's unexpected bills or needing to cover rent when things are tight, Earnin gives me peace of mind knowing that I have access to my hard-earned cash when I need it most. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type RealReal under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show, so please don't forget that step, RealReal under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. I've been doing this for so long, but now with Rella, obviously, we have a team. I have members of the team that, like, we are paying their salary. Like, they are, you know, my co-founders, Natasha, like, their salary is coming from Rella. And we have investors that rely on us. I mean, obviously, we're not, like, the only people they've ever invested in. But, like, still, the pressure is there and the stakes are just so much higher. And I've just been feeling, like, this level of stress that I've never felt before in my life. And it's just been like a horrible month. I'm not going to lie and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But the reason why it's been so horrible, and also when I was like talking to Ellie about this, we were kind of talking like similarly about this, is that like I have been trapped this year, but it really came out this month when like things felt just like a lot harder in comparison and in comparing myself to others, in comparing my company to others, and in just like being jealous or thinking that like I could be doing so much more because this person is doing so much more. And just honestly, like comparing myself is like the best way to say it, and how like comparison truly is the thief of joy. I know that's so cheesy, but comparison is awful. And like it's this never-ending trap that I have been stuck in, and I wasn't like that before. Like I feel like when you are first starting out in something, or you're like maybe you're younger, I don't even know, but like when you're like first starting out or you're younger, whatever it might be, comparison isn't as prevalent. At least in my life it wasn't, because I was kind of on the same like playing field. Like I had so much excitement ahead. I was young, first of all, so like everyone was older than me. I had so much excitement of what I was doing, and I kind of felt like the world was my oyster. It's like when you're young and like the world hasn't like harmed you yet. That's how I felt like, but like in the business sense, I guess, when it's like I was just starting my company and I just like the world hadn't like tainted my view of life yet, which sounds horrible, but you guys know what I'm saying. And so in the beginning, you're not feeling that comparison as much, or at least I wasn't. Lately, I have been comparing myself and my business to literally everyone. And I want to talk about ways that I have been trying to combat it. And this week specifically was like, it's just like a roller coaster of emotions every single day. But I will say I've been doing things to really like combat the way I've been feeling and like the vicious comparison cycle. And I want to share it with you because I really do think that some of these tips will help. So I have 5 tips that I'm going to be using and that I have been using, and I hope that they help you. And I know that you guys love this style podcast. So if you guys want more, please let me know or DM me. I've been getting really nice and sweet DMs from you. And also the comments on my last podcast were also saying that you want more like productivity and motivation. Well, this counts because comparison is not productive. Comparison is robbing you of your potential. Put that on a cheesy quote and pin it on Pinterest, because like it's seriously so true. So let me tell you how you can like stop comparing yourself. So the first tip I would say is that talk to other people who are going through a similar stage, because I'm not kidding. When I talked to my friend Allie, even though I obviously don't wish that she was like feeling the same way that I was, like, I don't want that. It was really comforting knowing that like she's doing so well in her business, like numbers wise and growing and all of this stuff, and she is feeling this way. Or I was talking to like other startup founders, and the fact that they were like, hey, we're going actually through like a really tough time, or this shit is hard. Like just hearing them say that when all I see on LinkedIn is like, oh my God, we're killing it. Look at all this amazing stuff we're doing. Because like, God forbid you talk about the hard stuff on social media. It's so comforting to hear it from their point of view, because you can get so warped in just remembering or thinking that because what they're posting online is like all there is. Like, I remember there have been some like really low moments of my life where on social media, I was posting like, look at all these great things happening to me. Like, it's not real. And I'm not even trying to say that like on social media, we should post about more like negative things, because I do think that social media should be a place of positivity. And like, there's so much negativity in the world that like, we don't really need more of that necessarily. But I wish that everything came with a caveat that's like, hey, this is a glimpse of my life. This is like not the full reality. And so that's why I love like long form podcasts or like newsletters or written out content that's not trying to be a highlight reel and not trying to feed an algorithm. I guess that's more like it, because Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, like everything's trying to feed an algorithm. Podcasting and like email newsletters, or like if you write a book or a blog or something like that, you're not trying to feed an algorithm. So like, you can be as honest as possible. Like on Rella's newsletter, I write a monthly newsletter where it's literally like my personal newsletter, but I send it out to all of Rella's list, and it's through Rella, obviously. And it's just like a behind the scenes of what we're going through, and like in the words of like the founder and the CEO, because I just feel like more companies should be more transparent like that. And so this past one, I was literally talking about that. I was talking about comparison, and that's when I was like, I need to make a podcast episode on this. So talking to other people, I think, helps so much. And I got so many replies to that email saying either like, hey, I see you. I am like, so like, I'm supporting you. I am cheering you on. Or I got like the other side where it's like, this is real. Like, I'm going through this too. And it's just nice to know that you're not alone. So for me, talking to other people who are in similar stages as you. So if you're a business owner, talking to business owners, if you're a creator, talking to creators, if you're a college student, talking to other college students, like it's just so important to talk to someone that's kind of going through what you're going through, because you're going to see that you're not the only one alone. Because I think a lot of times when you're in this comparison rut, you think you're the only one. You think you're the worst. You think that you're the only one going through this hard time, and really you're not. But until you actually talk to them, you're not going to realize that. And the next thing that I've realized is that if you are never content, you will never be happy. And that's kind of a hard pill to swallow for some people. And that's why what I like to do is I genuinely do this every single morning, and it's helped me so much. I either write it or I just like think about it in the morning, but I write down or I think about 3 things, a minimum of 3 things that I am grateful for. And a lot of times it's my family, my friends, the weather, living in Miami, having my business, my team members, the fact that I get to do what I love. Like, majority of the time it's that, the fact that I get to move my body, like whatever it is. Like, that's a lot of times what it is. Sometimes I get really specific, sometimes I don't. But anyways, I write down what I'm grateful for, because it's really hard to be sad and depressed or anxious when you realize all of the good things you have going for you. And I know it's so cheesy, but every single person listening to this has things that they can be grateful for. And whenever I think about the things I am grateful for, I just think, wow, like, thank you, God, for my life and for all of these amazing things in it. And I never want to take it for granted. And whenever I'm feeling anxious about something, like, for example, fundraising is what's keeping me up at night. When I feel anxious about my business and fundraising, I just think, God, you have gotten me through already, like, this point. Like, you've already, look at everything that I have, look at everything in front of me. Why would I think that you're not going to do it again? And, like, why would I think that you're going to, like, fail me or fail at this, whatever it is, you know? I, like, have to trust in you because of all of these other things that are proof of it in my life. And whenever you have, like, growing pains, or whenever you, like, kind of even like lifestyle creep, it could be, but it's like gratefulness creep, where it's like the more you have, you start feeling like more anxious about other things. When it's like, remember when you wanted where you are right now? What's that quote that's like, remember when you wanted what you have right now, I think is the quote. Because for so long, all I wanted was, you know, a business with paying customers, let's say, and now I have it. And now I have all of these extra, like, worries and fears and anxieties about these paying customers. And then, you know, it's like, when is it going to be enough? And so you have to make a conscious decision to be content. And contentment comes from being grateful. And I like to say the word content instead of happy, because whenever people are like, hey, just be happy, it's like, what does that mean? Like, how do you just tell someone, like, just be happy? It's like, okay, yeah, thanks for telling me to be happy. Now my depression is gone. Thank you. Like, that's not how it works. And I'm not saying that if you write down what you're grateful for, you're not going to be depressed. But I think it's going to be put things into perspective and be a mindset shift, that it's harder to feel a bunch of, like, sadness when you start thinking about the good and when you start being content. And when I say content, that means, like, being okay with being like, you know what? This isn't, yeah, some people might have more things than me. Some people might have more money. Some people might have more successful businesses, whatever it is. But I am content with what I have. I want to steward what I have well, because when it grows, I want to be ready for that. That's something that I have, like, really been learning this year, is being content, because there have been moments in my life where I've had more than what I have now. There have been moments in my life where I've had less than what I've had now, and in certain different areas and aspects. And I want to be able to be a person where I can say, I'm happy with what I have. I'm going to steward what I have well. And that way, when it grows, when it multiplies, I'm going to be able to take care of that too. And so that's kind of what I've been learning, because I do know a lot of people that they always are looking for the next thing. It's like they're constantly being like, okay, if only I had this, then I would be happy. If only I had blank, then I'd be happy. And then they get it. They get the thing that they wanted, and they're still not happy. And then the next thing, if only I have this next thing. And it's like, wait, wait, wait. You just said, if only you had this, and now you have it, and now you want something else. And I have people, so many people I know in real life, and I've been that way too, but I can see it way more. I think everyone can see it more in others, obviously. Like, you can see, like, people's decisions more, because no one is as, like, I mean, of course, I would like to think I'm self-aware, but of course, you just, like, see things more in other people. And so whenever I see that in other people, and I'm like, wait, you just said that you, if only you had that, you'd be happy. And now you have it. Now you're not happy. It really puts things in perspective for me. And it makes me reflect on, like, I don't want to be selfish, or not even, it's not even selfish. Selfish is not the right word. I don't ever want to, like, forget what I have and, like, not be grateful for what I have. And the next thing is to focus on your output rather than what you can't control. So focus on what you can control. We're going to use my fundraising example. I can use some other examples too. But for example, with fundraising, end goal is to raise money. I want to raise $2 million. That's the end goal. Every week that goes by, I am sad because I didn't raise more money. I'm like, well, how much money did I raise this week? $0. Instead, I need to start looking at it as, how many people did I talk to? If I talked to 2 investors that week, that's on me. How did I expect to raise money if I've only spoken to 2 investors? Now, if I had a week like this week where I spoke to, like, 13 investors, I need to be proud of myself for speaking to that many investors, because that just means I'm closer to my goal. It is a numbers game. That means it's closer to my goal. If you're focusing on content, instead of saying, oh my gosh, I lost followers this week, I only grew 10 followers this week, I barely got any likes this week, you know what you can focus on? How many times did you post? How many times did you engage with people? What was your output? Because that's what you can control. And so that's why I'm like so over numerical goals. And I said that in my New Year's resolution video that I'm not thinking about goals the same way that I did before, like with revenue. I'm not saying I want to make this much money. I'm not saying I want to, you know, have this many followers, because like I can't control that. I cannot control when people unfollow and follow me. What I can control is putting like good content out there. And that's what I'm going to focus on, because eventually I'm going to have to believe that it's going to pay off. And so that's what I'm focusing on, is that like I put out the content. The next thing is to step away from your phone. Spend time with friends and literally get outside, like literally touch grass. I'm not talking figuratively. Take off your shoes and go outside. I think that being outside off your phone, disconnecting, is so healthy mentally. My daily walks are like one of the most valuable parts of my day, because I'm disconnecting. Like when I'm walking, I'm not on my phone. I'm listening to a podcast a lot of times, but I'm like looking in front of me and I am outside and I am like interacting with people, even if I'm just like passing by them. Like I am in society. I am in nature. I'm feeling the sun on me. I'm like looking further than like 3 feet ahead, not even 3 feet. What is this? 3 inches ahead of me onto a screen. Like it is so healthy to disconnect. And I know it's cheesy, but I'm telling you, you need to disconnect and just like be in nature and be outside and spend time with people that you love. I was thinking about it this week where I was like, okay, at the end of my life, I'm going to be a little morbid. At the very end of my life, what am I going to remember? I'm going to remember my friends. I'm going to remember my family. I'm going to remember the experiences I had. I hope that when I'm talking to my great grandchildren and they ask me about my life, I am not saying, well, you know, I had this really cool co-working space and I worked all the time and I had a lot of meetings and, you know, I just spent a lot of time in front of my computer and I got a lot of stuff done. And yeah, that was my life. No, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about work. So that's why I'm trying to disconnect my identity from it. Does not mean I'm going to work any less. Like, I want to still be an incredibly hard worker. I want to put in the work. I want to put in the hours. And I'm not saying not to do that. But I was letting like the stress of work bleed into my personal life too. So when my parents were here, I wasn't able to really connect with them or enjoy spending time with them because I was stressed the whole time. On my trip to California, I feel like I was stressed the whole time with my friend. I want to be able to like be present. I want to be able to actually like disconnect and turn things off. And I think that that can help you with comparison, because you're not constantly like looking at what other people are doing and constantly, you know, like keeping up with the Joneses. Like you were just solely by yourself and focused on your own life. And I honestly think that that's beautiful. And then the next thing is finding hobbies that you're not trying to make into a career or monetize. I have spent my entire life monetizing every hobby that I've had, essentially. And then when I went through my breakup, I started writing a list of things that I was excited to do because I needed something to look forward to. I needed something that was like gonna get me out of the headspace of heartbreak. And so on that list was playing tennis. I am horrible at tennis. I'm never gonna monetize it. I'm never gonna become a tennis girl or tennis pro. But like, it was just fun. It was just something that I liked to do. Same with like, even like running right now. I'm just like, running for fun. Like it's something that I like genuinely like can turn off my brain and do. Or I want to get into painting. I have these canvases that I got for Christmas. Literally my ex got them for me for either Christmas or my birthday. I don't remember, like 3 years ago. And I've never opened it. And I really want to start like just like painting. Like I'm not going to sell my paintings. I'm not going to be good at painting, but I want to do it. And that way it's like getting you to like focus on something else. And it's like allowing you to be bad at something. And that way it's like training yourself to be comfortable being bad at something. Like I am not good at tennis. I'm not that fast at running. And I can tell you right now, I'm not artistic, but I can't wait to do those things because it's for me and for me only. And it's fun. And so I would encourage any of you to like find hobbies outside of work and outside of like monetization. And I feel like you will find a lot more like contentment and happiness. And I can't wait to do those things too and continue to do them. So those are kind of my tips for getting out of this rut and being content, being happy, not comparing yourself. And I really hope it helped because it's something that I really needed and I've been working on. And just know that if you are working through this, you are not alone. Life is hard. Work is hard. Being ambitious, being an entrepreneur, being a founder, being independent is really isolating and people don't talk about it enough. And I want to shed some light on it. And if you listened to this podcast or you read the Rella newsletter, I hope that you know that this is like, I'm sure that you see that this is just something that I've been struggling with lately. And this has been really healing, being able to write it out and also talk it out. So thank you guys for listening. I really enjoyed this podcast episode. I hope that you guys have been liking the solo episodes. And also, like, I didn't even like update you guys on the week or anything in the intro, but I wanted to like get into this episode because it was just so good, like so on my mind. So anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. I love you guys. And I will see you guys next week with another podcast episode. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Real Real. I hope that you enjoyed, and don't forget to rate, review, follow, or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Natalie Barbu and the podcast at The Real Real Podcast. I'll see you next Monday.
Hey, my name is Lo Von Rumpf, and I've been working my ass off as a celebrity stylist by day and a podcast host by night. At the Low Life Podcast, it's all about keeping it real. We're talking fashion, beauty, to religion, sex, drugs, mental health. I mean, there's no topic off limits here, and vulnerability is mandatory. You can find my podcast, The Low Life, that's L-O, no W, everywhere and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. New episodes are out every Thursday. We'll see you then.